This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com.
Greetings, super friends. My name is Sonia Simone, and these are the Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer. For those of you who don't know me yet, I am a co-founder and the chief content officer for Copyblogger Media. I'm also a champion of running your business and your life according to your own rules. As long as you don't lie and you don't hurt people, this podcast is your official pink permission slip to run your business or your career exactly the way you think you should. So today, I'm having lots of fun. I am talking with my friend Ryan Levesque. Ryan, how are you doing today?
So yeah, I'm doing great, and I'm absolutely thrilled to be talking with you.
This is going to be really fun. A few, maybe 6-8 months ago, a couple of different people who I think well of were talking about, have you heard of this guy, Ryan Levesque? He's this crazy, smart dude. Like, he, you know, has studied neuroscience, and he speaks Mandarin, and he's this just brilliant, crazy guy who has this really cool idea about segmentation. And among my circle of friends, that's actually kind of like cool. I mean, in a geeky way, you know, it's like, ooh, segmentation, tell me more. So circled around, had an intro, we never quite connected. And then lo and behold, Ryan shows up at a business owners group that I'm a part of and gives a talk. And I'm like, holy cow, this is so neat. I have to snag him over and get him to talk to my people about this really cool approach that you have to something that maybe a lot of people would consider kind of dry, data-driven segmentation, not fun for normal people, fun for weird people like you and me. So let's start out maybe just by, I know you have this bizarre fascination with what makes people buy. So I thought it would be fun just to talk about, where do you think that comes from? How do you come by that interest?
It's a really interesting question, Sonia. And it's funny, my answer might seem a little bit unusual, but I'll explain sort of the reason why I think this is extremely helpful to understand. I was interviewed by a copywriter a couple days ago who was doing a piece for us, and she asked me a question. She said, I like to get to know the person that I'm writing, the voice that I'm writing, and I like to ask these series of questions. So, okay, if I ask you? And she went through a couple of questions, and she said, about the third or fourth question, when you were in high school, what table did you sit at? And I said, it's actually really hard for me to answer that because I sat at a different table every single day. And I said, back in high school, I played saxophone and piano in the band. So some days I'd sit with the band geeks. I was an actor in drama. So sometimes I'd sit with the drama geeks. I was also captain of our high school soccer team. So sometimes I'd sit with the athletes. I was also valedictorian. So I'd sit with the math geeks and the brainiacs and everyone in between. So I said, I was kind of a bit of a chameleon, I guess. And I said, I'm sorry, like I can't answer your question directly. And she said, that's exactly what I needed to hear. And so I think the interest at the end of the day, if I really think about it, it really comes down with just a fascination around different people and understanding different people's motivation. And I think it stems from the fact that I myself had so many interests growing up that I had a hard time putting myself in a box and was constantly kind of moving or navigating across these different groups. And I think when you do that, whether that's culturally, living in a different country and having to navigate different cultures or different social groups, it naturally engenders this interest in what motivates these people differently. So if I were to go back to the beginning, I think that's possibly where it comes from.
That's very interesting considering your approach to marketing. I love that. Yeah, I love that answer. That's a cool question too. I like your copywriter. Smart.
She's a smart cookie. Yeah. When I had that question, I'm like, I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, you're very, very bright. You have this wonderful thing you shared with us about the most shared words in BuzzFeed headlines. And I would love if you could talk about that insight and kind of what it means.
This is most powerful when you can actually see this. So I don't know if there's a way for us to link to it, so perhaps in the show notes or something like that.
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely.
But BuzzFeed published an infographic. And basically, the infographic is the three word phrases that generated the most Facebook shares. And this is for last year. So what they did is they just did a linguistic analysis of common three word phrases that came up over and over again that generated in the most virality, the most sharing. And Head and Shoulders over anything else, it's very interesting. It was, the three words were, character are you. And if you're thinking, what does that mean, character are you? Well, what that's in reference to is all those little quizzes, those time-wasting, silly little quizzes that we've seen online that revolve around topics like, what Harry Potter character are you?
Yep.
What dwarf character is your dog? All those different character are you things that apparently were wildly successful with BuzzFeed. And what's interesting when you see the infographic is there's another observation, and that's not only did it result in the highest average number of shares, but the standard deviation, so we'll just say the worst performing iteration of that and the best performing, is a very tight, narrowly focused range, which means that there were no epic failures. So it was a pretty slam dunk strategy. Like if you wanted to just bet on something, you had a really good shot of succeeding out of the gate if you took that approach. And so the reason why I think this is so interesting for our conversation is, well, that's great, right? But unless you are in the business of one of these types of sites like BuzzFeed, the question I naturally ask myself is, well, how can I use this in my marketing? So if I'm a small business owner and I sell information products, or I'm a small consultant or a service provider, how might I use that same concept in my marketing? And what's interesting is that there's a way to do that very effectively. In fact, as you know, Sonia, it's what we do in my company and what I do all day, every day. And so that's has me really excited.
Yeah, and I'm looking at it very closely right now for our business, and I'm thinking of it as the sorting hat, you know, that from Harry Potter, you know, where they put the hat on your head and they tell you what house you're going to be in. And that idea is powerful. I mean, it's powerful. What house are you in? That idea of type and, you know, it's so powerful and it's so complex. I actually want to get into, so Ryan has written a book about this idea called Ask, and I'll read the short description of it. The counterintuitive online formula to discover exactly what your customers want to buy, create a mass of raving fans, and take any business to the next level. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about the book, because I don't want to, if I summarize what you're about, I'm not going to do it justice, but can you talk about the methodology and the ideas in the book? Because I think this is something that could really revolutionize a lot of different people's way that they approach their marketing.
The best way to describe the book is broken down into two main parts. The first part is the story of how I personally stumbled on this formula in its rough form and spent really the last decade of my life fine-tuning it and optimizing it to the tune of generating over $100 million in online sales across 23 different markets using this exact formula. And the markets are as diverse as golf instruction, tennis instruction, dog training, satellite television, business funding, fitness education, high-end alkaline water systems, water ionization systems, weight loss supplements, and the list goes on and on. The second half of the book is the how-to. The second half of the book is where the formula is laid out and it's just put on the line in the pages of the book. And when I say that the formula is revealed, this isn't one of these books that is like a thinly veiled sales letter.
Yeah.
Right? Where it's, here's what to do and buy our big, fancy, expensive course to do it. You learn about this in the story that about 2.5 years ago, I had a near-death experience where I became very sick. It was right after my first son was born. I lost about 30 pounds, applied for life insurance, and was rejected. And we went to go see the doctor to see if the lab results that the life insurance company had pulled up were accurate. Turns out that they were. I was rushed to the emergency room. The doctors basically said, you should be in a coma right now. My organs were shutting down. My liver was shutting down. Kidneys were shutting down. Pancreas stopped working. My pancreas doesn't work effectively today. And spent about 10 days in the ICU. And it was between a dialysis patient and a terminally ill cancer patient. And it gave me a lot of time to reflect on I was getting emotional when I talk about it, sort of what my legacy was going to be. And I sort of made a decision. I said, this is too valuable to hold close to the vest and only have a small handful of private clients that we've, you know, effectively implemented this for, and which I've made a lot of money for, and I've made a lot of money for myself. This is something that the world needs to see, because I agree with you, Sonia. I think this is a formula, this is a methodology that can truly revolutionize the way business is conducted online. And when you go back to the description that you brought up, I think the three most important things is when people hear a book title like Ask, they think, well, it must be really as simple as just asking what people want and giving it to them. But that couldn't be further from the truth. And the reason for that is, as you know, people don't know what they want.
Right.
In fact, there have been so many famous quotes about this, right? You've probably heard the Henry Ford quote where it's attributed to Henry Ford, whether or not he actually said it, where the quote is, if I'd asked people what they wanted, they would have told me faster horses.
Right.
Or more contemporary, you have Steve Jobs who said, paraphrasing what he said, but focus groups are worthless. People don't know what they want until they've seen it. So the counterintuitive aspect of it is asking specific questions, the right questions at the right time to the right people to find out what it is that people actually want without actually asking that question. The raving fans part is important, because one of the things that I think holds a lot of people back in business, especially in marketing, is there's a feeling that marketing is about manipulation.
Right.
And when you feel like you're manipulating someone, you can't invest 100% of yourself into it because it feels sleazy. And the reason why I bring up the raving fans aspect of it, this is one of these things that simultaneously benefits you as a business owner and it benefits consumers. And the reason for that is because you're using the sorting hat in your language, which I love, to put people in touch with the best match solution for them. So they win and you win. And the next level part is important, because we've used this methodology to scale businesses from 6 to 7 figures, from 7 to 8 figures, and we even have businesses who are doing 9 figures. We have businesses that do upwards of 20,000 leads per day. By funneling people through this ask formula methodology, this sorting hat, where we're asking a series of questions to find out a little bit about their situation, find out a little bit about what they're struggling with, and then using that information, putting them in touch, putting them in different sales paths, whether it's different sales letters, different email autoresponder sequences, different video sales letters, based on the results of their questions that they answer, and then customizing their experience.
Yeah, and something I like a lot about your approach, I think people see the word formula and they sort of think, oh, you know, this is going to be somebody who's going to tell me how to make $1 billion sitting around the house, you know, playing Minecraft. And sadly, no.
You can't do that?
I mean, you know, maybe if you're taking client calls or you're playing Minecraft, I don't know. It really is a methodology. I mean, it's work. And yeah. I want people to know that it's work. It's not some kind of paint by numbers thing. It's a very systematic approach to understanding your audience and then crafting what they really need and want from you. And, you know, we've always really been all about that, a copy blogger. And I just love that you have really taken it and made it very systematic and logical without, it's not paint by numbers, but it is very, it's a very solid framework.
The thing that led me down this path was, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. Well, this was necessary for me. When I first got started online almost 10 years ago now, I failed out of the gate. And I was taking the same approach that I had studied, I had taught, which effectively was this one-size-fits-all approach.
Yeah.
And out of desperation, in the first market that we went into, I asked people who were on our list, and I said, why have you decided not to buy? Why didn't you buy? And what I found from that was, where I thought we were speaking to one segment, one group of people, it became apparent that there were really 4 different groups of people in this particular market. And I realized that we were trying to sell them all the same thing, and that one thing appealed to none of them because it wasn't specific enough. So we went back to the drawing board. And by the way, this is in a tiny little obscure niche in the how to make jewelry space. So we were teaching how to make a specific type of jewelry, and it was a business that my wife inspired us to get into because she has a passion in this space. And so we realized that there are really 4 distinct groups of people, and that when we went back to the drawing board and created 4 different tutorials, 4 different sales letters, 4 different marketing paths, by putting people through the sorting hat, The business exploded almost overnight. And I realized that there was something there. And I took, I guess, comfort in the fact that, to your point, that this is work, that I said, the reason why not everybody is doing this, because it's brain dead simple, is because it takes time and it takes effort.
Yeah.
But if you do it, it's the one marketing strategy that I've implemented that's increased results or increased conversion, increased lift every single time. The only downside is that it takes work.
Yeah. And you know, there's that great, this is like my favorite marketing joke, which is the story about the two guys running from the bear. And the one guy stops and puts his tennis shoes on. And the other guy says, "Those tennis shoes are not going to help you. You're not going to be able to outrun the bear." And the guy says, "No, I just have to be able to outrun you." And yeah. I love that. It's sort of like a little joke about competition because, yeah, the truth is you don't have to implement this in some kind of perfect, pure, canonical way. Yeah. The fact is your competitors won't do it. And they won't take the time to do it. They'll look at the book. Oh, you know, it has a lot of chapters and, you know, it has a whole section that says methodology. That sounds complicated. I'm just going to buy some more pay-per-click traffic and just send them to my homepage. Or I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to do the thing everybody does.
Right.
And it kind of works. And you know, so more power to them. This is going to take you maybe a little more thinking time and a little more, you know, you're going to set aside a little time to do it, but it's going to put you so far forward. And that's really, I found the case with content marketing in general. Most people won't do it, which is what makes it awesome.
It's my son right now is, our older son's 3, and his recent obsession is, remember those Disney cartoons from like the 20s and 30s, the Three Little Pigs?
Yeah, yeah.
So we've been watching that on repeat. So it's been on the top of my mind. And there's so many, like, as an adult watching them versus watching a versus being a child, like you see all these kind of political messages in there. But it's the story of the three little pigs. And we all know that story, right? And really what you're doing is you are the little pig building your house out of bricks. And the rest of the world is building their business, their house out of straw or sticks. And when you build your house out of bricks, what happens is this: you effectively build a moat around your business. It becomes very difficult for your competition to storm your castle walls and knock you down. It becomes very difficult for the big bad wolf to come in and blow down what you've constructed. And so it takes a little bit more time, and that's the downside. So I like to be honest. It takes a little bit more work, but when you do it, I have markets that I've been in for almost a decade now, just to provide a frame of reference, where we have paid advertising campaigns that we literally have not touched in over 5 years that continue to profitably generate customers and income for us on a recurring basis. And the reason for that is because competitors try to come in and they try to compete head to head and they say, you know what, this is just too much work. I'm going to go somewhere else. I'm the big bad wolf. I'm going to blow down the house of sticks next door. I'm not going to worry about your house of bricks.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like that. Something I say about search engine optimization all the time, but it's really true about any aspect of your business, is don't take shortcuts. They take too long. The short, quick, you know, surefire system is usually the one that is going to work for you for about 20 minutes and then kind of stop working. You and I both see a lot of, you know, a lot of marketing, a lot of people working on getting the word out about their business. Some people are brilliant and some people are not. Where do you think most attempts at marketing get it wrong? What do you see as the most consistent mistake or, you know, mistake trend?
I think one of the biggest ones relevant to our conversation is people start with the solution in mind.
Yeah.
So people start and they say, I have this great idea. I think people are going to love it. And the longer you go down that path, the more attached you become to your idea, and it becomes more difficult to let go. And I think one of the biggest reasons why this formula is so successful and why it's universal, it's proven, it's repeatable, and anybody can use it. And again, out of necessity, I had to use it, is because a lot of the markets that I've gone into using this formula and that the team has implemented are markets that I don't have any experience in. Mm-hmm. And I think it's like, for example, the golf market. People are surprised to know that the funnels I have in that market, we generate upwards of 10 to 15,000 leads per day. And I don't even play golf. Well, how do you know how to write copy and build a persuasive funnel in a space that you have no idea on? Well, it's as simple as letting the data guide your direction taking. So when you start with, for example, an open-ended survey asking people around a specific problem, what's the single biggest challenge or struggle you're having around XYZ? And you take the Zen mind, sort of naive mind approach to that, well, you're forced to let the data tell you what the answer is. It's when you come in with preconceived ideas and you say, you know what, I've been in this market for 25 years. I know what it is that people want. That's one of the biggest mistakes that people make.
Yeah, I agree. I call it inventor syndrome, where you've invented some amazing widget and you're sure that the world just needs it. And you spend your whole, you know, you spend your whole career trying to make this thing happen instead of building an audience and then just finding out what they need.
Right.
I say that like it's a just, it's not a just, but it is a quicker way to get where you want to go.
I'll add one more because that one's big picture and I think it's really helpful and it's very useful. I'm going to add one more that's, I think, may blow some people's minds. The second biggest mistake that I see where people fall short, especially as it relates to our process, and they say, hey, I've done surveys before, mm-hmm. and I'm not generating the kind of numbers you're generating. They don't work. Well, the biggest mistake that people make there is they focus on the wrong metric. They focus on frequency of response rather than depth of response. Mm. What I mean by that is frequently asked questions are not necessarily questions that people will pay for a solution to. Mm-hmm. Perfect example. We have a business in the gardening space. The most frequently asked question that you get in the gardening space almost without fail is, how much should I water my plant? Whatever plant you're asking about. Teaching a program on how to grow tomatoes. How often should I water my tomatoes? When should I water them? How often? How much? Et cetera. And it's a question that you'll see time and time again. And if you don't know that the secret is focusing on depth of response, then it can lead you to the path of, well, hey, we should create a course on how to water your tomatoes. And you launch it to crickets and you wonder, well, what's wrong? I followed the survey data. What gives? The key is depth of response. And so what I mean by that is, in that same market, if 90% of people are telling you about water, but there's 10% of people, and all the water people are leaving you short, concise responses, you've got another 10% of people who are leaving you responses like this. So you know what, Sonia, the biggest challenge I'm having right now is repotting my plant. And I'll tell you why. See, I've gone through 3 plants right now, and every time I try to repot it, 3 days later, the leaves go yellow and the thing starts to die. And I've been following the directions online and I just can't seem to figure out what it is. Will you please help me? Even though that might represent 10% of the total responses you get if you ask an open-ended survey around what's the single biggest question you have about your tomato plants, that 10% is more valuable than the other 90% because the passion, the depth of response is the best indicator you have that is something people will spend money to solve and thus should direct your product creation efforts. Mm.
I really like that. I think that's very cool. I think that's very cool. We could talk a lot about this, but I really want people to pick your book up because we can cover some highlights in a 20-minute interview, but the methodology is pretty deep and it's very complete, which I love. I've been working my way through the book and it's not, like you say, it's not a sales letter for something, you know, something further. It really gives you the whole thing. You have the whole methodology in the book. So I would like people to pick that up. If I have calculated this correctly, it should be released tomorrow, April 14th. Is that right?
That's correct. It is. If you're listening to this tonight, it is currently available for pre-order on Amazon. Perhaps barnesandnoble.com. I know for sure Amazon, it's available and it releases tomorrow. So if you order it today, you will get access to a first edition copy of the book. And this is a physical book.
So get the book. I mean, if any of these ideas are starting to resonate with you or you think, you know, I think I could do something kind of cool with that, just get the book. So other than picking up the book, if somebody was going to do something in the next 48 hours for their business, to get more insight, more clarity, to be moving in a better direction? What do you think they should do?
I'm going to make this very tactical because I think it's most helpful for these things to be very tactical. And I'll say this. If you have any sort of email marketing that you're doing, this is a nice little tactic that I like to use. So on the first day someone signs up for your email list, they might get an email that offers whatever free thing that you're giving away, free report or free video, whatever the thing is. Set up your email autoresponder sequence to send a second email 3 hours later, ideally, if not the next day, if you can't send it 3 hours later. And this email should be very short. And the email should say, "Hi, this is Sonia, and I shot you an email earlier today or yesterday. Shot you an email earlier today with your free thing. And I just wanted to make sure I was sending it to the right place. Would you just do me a favor and hit reply to this email to let me know that it made it to you? It would mean the absolute world to me. Thanks so much, Sonia." Now, when you do this, on the surface, it seems, well, what's the big deal? Well, here's the big deal. First thing, it opens up a dialogue between you and your customer or your prospective customer. And it'll blow their mind when not only after they reply to that email saying, "Oh, yes, I got it," when you reply back and say, "Oh, thank you so much. By the way, when it comes to blah, 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 what's the single biggest thing that you're struggling with now? The reason why I ask is if you take a moment to tell me what's on your mind, I'll try to cover it in one of my upcoming emails." They think, "Holy moly, you're a real person."
Yeah.
And by the way, if you have a massive business, you can bring in a customer service person to do this. And it gives you that survey data. And here's the third part that most people don't realize, which is the coolest part. This is the most effective way, at least that I know of, to get your email whitelisted.
Mm-hmm.
When you start an ongoing dialogue like this, what happens is the Gmails of the world, they say, "Oh, this isn't a marketing message. This is a personal back and forth conversation. We're going to permanently put this person in the primary inbox."
Yep.
So it increases all your efforts down the road. Super simple to do, super short email, queue it up today after you listen to this interview and watch the type of impact that it has. So that's my quick tactical tip.
Yeah, I love that. I've actually used a version of that, and I can confirm that it works like gangbusters. Very cool. Very cool. Let's see. Wrapping this up, the Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer have been brought to you today by Authority Rainmaker, a live educational experience that presents a complete, effective online marketing strategy that helps you immediately accelerate your business. Do not miss the opportunity to see Dan Pink, Sally Hogshead, punk legend Henry Rollins, and a lot of other very cool, smart speakers live, not to mention the secret sauce of it all, which is building real-world relationships with other attendees. And I personally would absolutely love to connect with you there, so I hope you can make it. It's in Denver, Colorado this May, and you can grab the details at rainmaker.fm/event. And we would love to see you there. So, Ryan, I just want to thank you. This has been such a fun conversation. You know, I would love to sit here and talk to you for about the next 2 or 3 hours about this, but I wanted to whet people's appetites and really encourage them to go ahead and dig deep into your book, because I think it's going to help a lot of people.
Sonia, thank you so much for the opportunity, for the support. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I look forward to doing it again soon.
Awesome. Talk to you soon. This is Sonia Simone with The Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer.